Yo, yo, welcome to Crypto 101. This is Matthew Aaron, and today we're going to talk about Litecoin and the history of it and how it developed to be what it is today. And this is kind of inspired by this past week. And Litecoin went from, you know, just being stable, kind of hanging out, being the boring coin, the one that everybody has that one meme with the, what is it, the little ninja or robber with the white mask on and with a stick poking it and saying, do something. Yeah, it's never does anything. Well, this past week, it did something. And it did something big. It went from like $45 to $92. Now, it's back at $66 today. Bitcoin's down, the whole market's down, but it's still kind of, it's still hanging at 66, and that's what Litecoin does. Litecoin just, no, it doesn't matter what the market does, Litecoin is going to hold its own. And today we're just going to talk about a little bit about the history and a little bit about the founder, Charlie, what Litecoin is and why people are, you know, buying it. Why is it raising in value? I mean, you probably can ask that for most of these coins, especially things that you've never heard the name of or can't pronounce or don't know what they do. Anyway, just starting out, Litecoin was developed in 2011, and it was released on October 7th. Not like you really need to know that, but that's when it was released. And Charlie Lee is the person who made Litecoin. Now, Litecoin is like, it's a clone of Bitcoin. From what I can read, it's nearly identical when it started. And what's making Litecoin, setting Litecoin apart, is the developments over the years and the additions that's being added to Litecoin to move it to the future. And that's what Charlie Lee and the Litecoin Foundation is really responsible for. But let's talk about Charlie Lee first. All right, so Charlie Lee has kind of an interesting history. He was born on the Ivory Coast and moved over to the United States around 13 years old. He went to this college prep boarding school. Now, this it's kind of like the Harvard of high schools. It's in New Jersey. It's called Lawrenceville. It has like an endowment of $380 million. It has like multiple schools, like schools of, you know, science and stuff like that, all up on the, all on this campus. Student to teacher ratio is 7-1, and it's super competitive to get into. I think that they only take a couple hundred out of thousands of applications every year. But after high school, he went to MIT, where he got his bachelor's in computer science, and then he got his master's in computer science from MIT. After that, can't find too much about his history besides this, thanks to an article that I read that he released a couple weeks ago. Link is down in the description. He started working for Google, and then after Google, he went to Coinbase and became a director in Coinbase. So through that time is when he developed Litecoin. If at any time Charlie is listening to this and wants to come onto this podcast, he is more than welcome to come on and give us a 101 lesson on Litecoin. I tweeted at him the other day. I said, hey, you want to come on my podcast? It's a pretty kind of passive-aggressive tweet. And I was like, hey, I have a podcast. I don't think, well, he didn't reply. But I'm gonna make a formal one because I would love to get him on here just to give everybody a 101 on Litecoin. Anyway, back to the topic at hand. Litecoin, like I said, was a clone of Bitcoin and is developed in its own kind of way. And the Litecoin Foundation is what's leading this development. Since it's away from all the Bitcoin, you know, politics and mining and all that stuff, they're doing their own thing, they're able to develop it a lot faster and in more of a direction, you know, based on what Charlie and the community wanted to do. Now, when Charlie was part of Coinbase, he was still a part of the foundation, but now that he's left Coinbase and is working on Litecoin for full time since May, he is the managing director of the foundation along with two other directors, which they, you can go on their website, the foundation, link is down in the description again, and you could check out their financials, everything that's going on. They're very transparent, and you can even see their salaries. And Charlie Lee makes one Litecoin a month. So that's why I bet he was super happy when Litecoin went through the roof this week from 45 to 92. For the most part, though, the foundation works with contributors and volunteers and hobbyists to work on this open source community. And they're not really based anywhere, they say. that they're just, everybody's working remotely, communicating online, and this is all just, you know, the directors of the foundation are kind of just all wrapping this together, leading them. The whole purpose of the foundation is so they can raise money to hire more developers, full-time developers, and also guide the path of Litecoin. Now, what is Litecoin and why is it important to the market? And why are people buying it? Well, there's always this analogy that Litecoin is the silver to Bitcoin's gold. And that's exactly why Charlie created it. There's always been this vision that Bitcoin would be this kind of hold or storage currency, or where you would put your savings or your the bulk of your money there. Say if it's $1,000 or $10,000 or $100,000. But when you went to the store to buy, you know, bread or whatever, it's Litecoin that you're spending. So you're not, you know, carrying around 10,000 in Bitcoin, which, you know, is probably going to be one Bitcoin one day. And you're paying a loaf of bread 0.000172 Bitcoins. It's kind of annoying. And it's not too convenient because, as we all know, the Bitcoin network is very slow, bogged down by lots of traffic, and there needs to be solutions to it. Well, Litecoin is trying to make that solution. And the Litecoin developers always have this analogy that I kind of like because it really puts everything into like a perspective that I understand. And the analogy is like this. He talks about two highways. So I'm going to use Route 66. And Route 66 is, you know, in the United States, that heads out west, is a two-lane highway. Goes through, you know, states like Arizona and you know, goes into California. And, you know, it's just, there's nothing around it. But anyway, there's two lanes on it. And from 1910 to like 1955 or so, the only way to get out west, or the most popular way to get out west, was Route 66. You know, so you had all the traffic on this two-lane road, and it's you know, it got busy. And imagine, like, if you have all the traffic on this two-lane road, and every day there's more and more people using this two-lane road. Of course, some of the states are going to charge tolls. Now, I don't know really if Route 66 ever had tolls, but imagine if they had tolls. And now, if it's the only road that's going to the place that everybody wants to go, you can charge whatever you want. You can charge $5, let's just say $5, to get on the highway and go. And then when you get into a new state, maybe even more money. So everybody's on this road, backed up, bumper to bumper, eating at the same diners, paying $5 per car just to use this road because there's no other options. That's Route 66. Two lanes, road, lots of cars. Now, Litecoin is the brand new highway that's being built right next to it. It has three lanes of traffic going one way, three lanes of traffic going the other way. This road, it's straighter, not many as many turns. The roads are flatter, brand new, smooth. And there's no obstructions, like people aren't going to run out in the road because it's high up. It has walls, you know, little, you know, dividers on it. So you're able to reach higher speeds. And with the amount of traffic that they have now, or even 20 years in the future, you'll never, ever get this jammed up because it just has so much space. Well, that's Litecoin. The problem is there's no on-ramps or off-ramps to this interstate yet. But that's what they're trying to do. Is first, let's just say Litecoin was Route 66, and now over development, over time, they have made Litecoin become this interstate. And now what they want to do is get all this traffic from Route 66 onto this interstate. And now they're building on-ramps and off-ramps. And that's what the Segregated Witness is about, and Lightning Network, and something that we always keep hearing, atomic swaps. So what is the Lightning Network? To be perfectly honest, I looked at Segregated Witness and this, and I'll put the YouTube channel in the description, but there's this guy on it that I had no clue what he was talking about. He was saying some crypto speak. He was using some words I have never heard before. And I was super distracted because the guy looks like Samwell Tarly from Game of Thrones. Sounds like him, looks like him. I just couldn't take him seriously. He knows what he's talking about. He has lots of views. All the people in the comments are like, dude's dope. Check him out, please. It's hilarious. So I'm going to skip Segregated Witness right now and just talk about Lightning Network, which just got tested and put on Litecoin Network just the other day, which was basically fueling all of this hype, this, you know, more investment because people were waiting for this. It's like, all right, Lightning Network, you know, faster transactions. And, well, hold up, let's see what it does. First, rapid payments, of course, faster transactions. Payments within an established channel can be made almost as fast as data can travel over the internet between two people. The way that I understand that this works is that you create a channel between two people, you and a store, you and a person, you and two entities, and you guys are keeping ledgers of each other and of the network. So you're not bogged down by downloading the whole. Actually, I heard an analogy. It's kind of like what Bitcoin is. It's kind of like trying to read your emails, but you have to download every email before you read your email. And this one is just looking at the email that was sent to you by this person over here. No third-party trust. So two peers in a channel can just pay each other directly. It reduces the blockchain load. So this allows the Lightning Network users to make frequent payments secured by Bitcoin without placing the excessive load on the full nodes, which is processes every transaction on the blockchain. So like we were just saying, you don't have to download every email and you don't have to wait for it to be confirmed by whoever the hell is trying to, you know, mine or figure out or do blocks and, you know, confirm transactions. It's just, it speeds things way up. You can outsource enforcement, which means that a third party can act as a monitor so that theft or scams or hacks don't happen. So right now it's kind of like you're on your own. Your blockchain you're in control of your own coin. But now you can actually get a third party or somebody develops a protocol to help us secure the network, which takes a lot of stress off of the individuals. And finally, you can securely cross blockchains. Now, this is where the atomic swaps are coming in. According to the article, again, link in the description, payments can be routed across more than one blockchain, including altcoins and sidecoins, as long as all of the chains support the same hash function to use for the hash lock. So what does this really do? Charlie had an analogy for this. He said, imagine you're in Italy and you're flying in from the States and you order a coffee and you pull out a US dollar to pay for that coffee. And while it's coming out of your pocket and you're handing it to the cashier, it turns into a euro in flight. And you hand off a euro when you pull it out, a dollar. That's super cool. Imagine if you are going to buy bread or beer or whatever, and there's a Bitcoin. We accept Bitcoin on their door. So now you walk in there with Litecoin. You're paying. Maybe you're walking in there with Vertcoin. You're paying. Maybe you're walking in there with Viacoin. You're paying. Maybe you're walking in there with any other Lightning networked atomic swappy coin, super technical speak over here, you can pay with it. And that's where Charlie's trying to go with Litecoin. Litecoin knows that, you know, Bitcoin is in control of the market. It built the market. The market is built around Bitcoin. So the smartest thing to do is to work with Bitcoin. Bitcoin is going to be $5,000. It's going to be $10,000. And it's going to go even higher than that in the future. Can you really pay for a loaf of bread with 0.00001 Bitcoin? And do you have time for a 10-minute transaction while you're standing in line at the grocery store? No. So Charlie is building this coin, this foundation for the future usage. That kind of goes with why Bitcoin is splitting. So it is able to work with these supporting systems in the future. And Bitcoin is starting to upgrade their 2009 tech to 2017. One of the things that naysayers say is that, well, once Bitcoin has Lightning Network, why do we need Litecoin? Well, Charlie says, well, of course you're going to need these other coins. Here's a piece of an interview that he was doing the other day. He says, some people say that Lightning Network on Bitcoin will kill any reason to use Litecoin. If people can do instantaneous transactions on Bitcoin, why would you then use Litecoin? And Charlie says, my gut feel is that this isn't the case. Even with Lightning Network, Bitcoin still cannot service every person in the world. I think the calculation was that at one megabyte blocks, Lightning Network and SegWit on Bitcoin can service maybe about 500 million people. Lightning nodes will charge a fee for the Lightning networks going through them, and that fee will be relative to Bitcoin network fee. So Bitcoin Lightning Network will be more expensive than Litecoin networks. It will make economic sense for Lightning networks to go via Litecoin and back to Bitcoin to get a cheaper rate. Lightning makes it possible because it allows the two Lightning networks to be interoperable. And not only just the usage in the future, Litecoin is also doing this development to help and push Bitcoin to take action. They have 2009 tech. It's 2017 and the market is growing. And until just a little bit ago, a couple months ago, they didn't even want to fork. They didn't want to do anything to it to help it move forward. We might have to thank Charlie and Litecoin for pushing that forward. And finally, where can we buy and use Litecoin? Well, of course, you can buy Litecoin on Coinbase and all your exchanges. We know that already. Please look at any other episode with the exchanges on there so you can know how to use Coinbase, Bittrex, Kraken. Do I have any other ones up there? I think I have Binance up there, or it's going to come soon. So check out that episode. And on the Litecoin website, you can download their wallets. You can see where they can be used. And you can know more about the company itself. Also, check out the foundation's website, where you can learn about the finances, what they're doing, and how they're moving forward. I have a couple articles in the description, links for them. They're really good. And there's an article by a person named Elizabeth Stark. And she is a former Yale lecturer. And she's also the co-founder of Lightning, which is the company that is developing Lightning Network. So really good read. It breaks it down very easy what Lightning Network is. But that's about it for this episode. Thank you very much. And you know where to find me. Twitter, crypto__101. Facebook, crypto101. I see we got some people on there. It's looking nice. SoundCloud, Tumblr, crypto101. And finally, like always, this week's song is by Petite Biscuit. The song is called Gravitation, featuring Isaac Delusion. You found it on LaBelle Music YouTube channel. Said it a lot. Don't need to say anymore. Links in the description. Thank you very much, Crypto 101, Matthew Aaron.